Glad that you're here to celebrate and to worship Jesus with us. We're in a message series called Forgotten Virtues. And today we're going to be talking about a virtue that is kind of difficult. We're going to be talking about purity. And when I say the word purity, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? When we talk about purity, what's the very first thing that pops into your mind? If you're like me, it's probably sexual purity. Because our culture today, life in America, we are surrounded by sexual content constantly. So this is what I want to do today. Before we start today's message, I want to stop. I want to pause. I want to hit the pause button. I want you to take a deep breath and let go of all the stuff that you've had going on in your life this week. A lot of times we get into church and we've got two things on our mind. All the junk that happened to us this week and all the stuff we got to do next week. Right? And it's hard to focus. And I really believe that the enemy's strategy and our own sinful nature pulls us away from God's truth. And so before we start this morning, I want to take a pause. Take a breath. And let's pray and ask God to really speak to us this morning. Let's pray. God, we are so prone to wander. We feel it. We know it. Today we have wandered into here. The beautiful thing about you, Lord, is no matter where we go, you are there. But we come to here today to focus on you. And yet our minds are distracted and filled with our own brokenness and our own busyness. And today we want to just empty ourselves and give you permission to speak to us. Lord, show us the deep, dark places in our heart that you want to redeem. The places that are dark that you want to bring light. The places that are dirty that you want to bring purity. Because you are the only one that can make that happen. So today we humbly present ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to you and ask you, God of glory, begin transforming our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I mentioned the city, Flint, Michigan, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? The water issue, right? We've all forgotten that Flint, Michigan used to be just a great place where people would work and build cars for our nation. And yet we've long forgotten that. And the very thing that we remember about them is the water crisis. The bad decision that they made to move or switch their water supply source from Lake Huron to the Flint River and failing to properly treat their water. And because they did that, the pipes eroded, and we know that lead contaminated the water, and without even knowing it, people in that community were drinking in poison day after day after day. And I don't even know what the totals are right now. I know that there were some people that died because of it, maybe 10 or more. But there's also so many children and people who are ill from that. All because the city wanted to take a shortcut to save money. In order to save money, they compromised the purity of their water. And it had an impact on the whole community. It really surprises me that in America, we are more concerned about the purity of our air, our food, and our water than we are about our mental, physical, and spiritual purity. I believe the Flint water crisis pales in comparison to the damage that sexual impurity is doing in our country, and most importantly, to our children. We live in a country where 500,000 to 1.3 million women get sexually assaulted every year. Marriages and families are destroyed by adulterous affairs and addiction to pornography. Over 9 million people in America have sexually transmitted diseases. I wonder why there's no outrage. We haven't been able to stop hearing about how outraged the people in Flint, Michigan are. Our whole country has been outraged by the water impurity and the fact that someone would actually do that. I wonder why we don't have the same kind of outrage about the pornography and the sexually provocative garbage that's pumped into our houses each and every day through the internet and through our TVs. You know, in the water crisis, the president declared a federal emergency. FEMA came out to help. Even the health department was involved. It was a major crisis. The question I have is, why hasn't the church declared a federal emergency in regards to spiritual and sexual purity? We're being contaminated by the world, and we're just letting it happen. We're drinking in the sinful sexual immorality of our world, and we don't even realize it. Someday, it will have an impact in our lives. It will have consequences. We've allowed ourselves to become numb to all the stuff we see and hear on a regular basis. We're oblivious to the reason why all these sexually motivated immoralities are happening around us. It's like we're pretending that there's nothing wrong. The purity of our heart and mind ought to matter. It ought to matter because it matters to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says this to the church. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will for you is to be holy, to stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will learn to control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. As we look at our world today, the question that we often ask ourselves is that even possible? God wouldn't ask us to do it if it wasn't possible with His help. But He calls us to live holy lives, not impure lives. So I think it is possible. So let me share God's plan to help you perfect holiness and purity in your life for Him. First, if you're following along on the outline, don't be captured by the cultural lies. Don't be captured by the cultural lies. I saw an article this week on crosswalk.com by Debbie McDaniel. She shares 10 lies that the world is telling our teenagers today about sex. Here's a few of them. Don't worry, everyone's doing it. It'll be okay. It's okay to try it out. Oh, don't worry, premarital sex is okay. It's the same as every other sin. We're both consenting adults. It's not hurting anyone. If you really, really loved me, you would sleep with me. And other lies. Our culture is bombarding us with lies. Colossians 2, Paul says to the church in Colossae, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Jesus. Our spiritual enemy, Satan, and our sinful world has slowly deflated the meaning and the consequences of sin in sexual immorality, both in our minds and in our hearts. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah cried out to God about the sinful actions of the spiritual family in Israel. And God responded to him by saying, "Are they ashamed of their disgusting actions? Not at all. Matter of fact, they don't even know how to blush." I think we've gotten to the place in our culture today where we don't even blush anymore. Things come on our TV screen, our computer screen, and we think nothing of that. Matter of fact, a lot of times we joke around using sexual innuendos all the time. We make a joke out of something that God has created to be an intimate and holy thing. No one is shocked by the sin of sexual immorality anymore. We live in a time where the click of a remote or a computer mouse makes sexual provocative material available anywhere at any time. Instead of being shocked or embarrassed, we're often entertained. Pastor Charles Swindoll says the ultimate telltale of a sign of a low view of purity and personal holiness is that we no longer blush when we find sin. Instead, we joke about it. We reclothe immorality and make it appear funny, because if we don't, we are labeled as weird prudes or out of touch with reality. In essence, we have redefined sin. We have redefined sin to meet our own selfish desires. So, if we want to keep drinking from that well, we shouldn't be surprised when we get sick spiritually and our lives start to fall apart. When we drink what the world has to offer, we'll get captured and begin to believe the lies, not often realizing the damage and the consequences until it's too late. Check the source of the water you're drinking. Jesus teaches that the water that He offers provides life. Don't drink the contaminated water this world has to offer. Secondly, God's plan to help you perfect your holiness and purity is to fulfill the biblical truth to abstain. God's word does not tiptoe around this issue. There's not really a lot of gray area when it comes to sexual immorality. The Bible is really pretty clear. What we just read said God's will for you is to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Let me translate that a little bit more. Let me clear that up a little bit more for us to understand. First of all, the words sexual sin are often interpreted sexual immorality. The Greek word for that is porneia. It's where we get our word pornography. But it means more than that. It refers to any intimate sexual encounter apart from a marital partner of the opposite sex. Lust, fornication, adultery, and homosexuality are all included in the biblical phrase sexual immorality. The words stay away is from the word abstain. Again, it doesn't get any clearer than that. The Bible tells us to abstain from sexual immorality. It means more than just be careful or be discreet about it. It says abstain. It means have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Matter of fact, in other places, Paul says, flee, run. Don't toy with it. Don't tiptoe up to the line and go, I wonder what that's like. Paul says, no, run from it, flee from it, abstain from it, stay away from it. Why? Because God's will for us, God's desire for us, God's command for us is to be holy. That word holy means set apart. It means different. As Christians, we are called to be different than our culture, set apart from our culture. There ought to be some kind of guideline, some kind of character, some evidence in our life that we're different than everyone else because we serve a God who loves and cares for us. It's God's will, it's His plan, it's His command for us to abstain from sexual impurity. Because God's design for marriage is one man and one woman forever, for life. That's how He designed the place of sexual intimacy to be. And anything outside of those guidelines is considered sexual impurity, immorality. God's will, His plan for us, is a good plan. We are called to be set apart, consecrated to God and to our spouse in marriage. But it's also God's will that we know how to abstain from sexual impurity. He wants us to learn how to control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. So God's plan to help you perfect holiness and purity is to make the personal choice to pursue the new you. Make the personal choice to pursue the new you that He offers you. Last winter, I gained 15 pounds. And I started to feel really unhealthy. And I said to myself, okay, I got to get back on my diet and exercise plan. So I started to watch what I ate. I started counting my calories. I started exercising by riding my bike. And I got back to my goal weight. Now, there's two important things about that choice. The first, it was a daily and sometimes moment-by-moment choice. Late at night, when I had the craving and the desire to eat ice cream or to snack on chips, I had to make the choice. Am I going to achieve my goal weight? Am I going to really work at this? Or am I going to blow it? Sometimes it was a moment-by-moment choice, but I had to make the decision to stick to my goal. The second thing was, it's an ongoing choice. See, once I made my goal weight, it wasn't like, ha, I'm there. Now I can go back to doing whatever I feel like again. No. It's an ongoing daily choice that I have to make if I want to be healthy. And it's the same thing for our sexual purity. We were at, with some leaders from church this week, we were at the Global Leadership Summit simulcast Thursday and Friday. And pastor, author, and leadership guru John Maxwell said something that really resonated with me. He said, everything worthwhile is uphill. Everything worthwhile is uphill. What he was saying is so true. Everything that's worthwhile is worth working for. It's worth going uphill for. If you really want to grow spiritually, if you really want to honor God with your life, if you really want to be sexually pure, it will be uphill both ways. All the way. It's not going to be an easy task. Sexual purity doesn't just happen. You have to set goals. You must be willing to work at it every day, from today until Jesus comes back. The problem is, as John Maxwell says, again, people with uphill hopes often have downhill habits. People with uphill hopes often have downhill habits. Right? There's that gravitational pull. Our sinfulness just pulling us down, keeping us from climbing that hill. And he says that most people don't lead their life. They simply accept their life. Listen, if you don't have a plan to attack sexual impurity in your life, if you think that it's just going to happen automatically, if you just accept your life and don't lead your life, you're going to slide down the mountain. You're going to slide down that hill. Nothing good happens when you slide downhill. The song we sang today, we're so prone to wander. We're so prone to get off track, aren't we? Just a few moments, a few days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and all of a sudden we're lost. We don't recognize where we're at. We have to lead our life. If you want to live a sexually pure lifestyle for God, you have to be intentional. You have to be deliberate. You have to be consistent. And that means making a plan. Making a plan enables you to make the right choices to get rid of the downhill habits, to replace them with new uphill habits. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul says this way, "Let's purify our lives from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." When you begin to make the choice to purify your life, getting rid of the things that contaminate you, God's not going to leave you alone. God doesn't call us to do things that are impossible with Him. It might be impossible with you, but with God, all things are possible. And God's not going to require something for us if He's not going to help us achieve it. So let me share with you a few uphill goals for you. Some biblical principles that can help. Number one, make God and His Word your priority. Make God and His Word your priority. The starting point to living a pure lifestyle in a polluted world is to make God's Word the priority in your life. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "How can a young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word." We can only be pure if we live according to God's word. See, how can we obey God? How can we be obedient to God? How can we follow God's rules, His guidelines, His laws for our life if we don't know them? And by the way, ignorance is no excuse for sin. God is still going to hold us accountable. We must know God's laws. We must elevate God's word to the most priority in our life so that we can begin living a pure lifestyle. In Hebrews 4:13 it says, "God's word is alive and powerful." Our culture tells us today that God's word is old. It's out of date. It has nothing to do with this life. It's antiquated. It's an old-fashioned idea from the past. The Bible tells us, God tells us, His word is alive. Because Jesus is alive and He is here today and He's here to help us. God's word is alive and it can be alive in you. But it can't be alive in you if you don't read it. We have to make God's word a priority in our life. God's word lives in us by the Holy Spirit of God, but we must activate it. Making it a priority to read it, to reflect on it, to study it, and to memorize it. God's word is alive, and it's powerful enough to help you up the hill to living a sexually pure lifestyle. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you a treasure map, and I told you that if you study, memorize, and follow the map, it would lead you to a $1 billion treasure. How much would you take that treasure map and read it every day and follow it and do everything you could to find that treasure? People, God's word has a treasure in it. His name is Jesus. The problem is that the treasures that we have in this world are different. If we really treasure Jesus, we'll want what He wants for us. And we can find that in God's Word. And James 1 says it this way, "Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Humbly accept the Word God has planted in your hearts." Why? "For it has the power to save your soul." God's Word is alive. God's Word has the power to bring you life. God's Word has the power to save your soul. We want to live a life of purity. We must be willing to fight for it by making God's word a priority in our life. Another uphill goal is to manage your mind. Manage your mind. Every temptation starts in your mind. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts." And Proverbs 23 says, "Keep your mind on what is right." Often the battle is won or lost in our mind. Our mind is the command center for our life and for our purity. If we don't watch the things that we entertain in our mind, eventually they will become actions. Remember that Jesus raised the bar. He said, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks lustfully at another person has already committed adultery with them in their heart." Jesus was saying, when you lust, when you think about sexual impurity, your mind is lingering too long. You have sinned. You have already committed adultery with that person in your mind and in your heart. Jesus says that temptation starts in your mind. They become deeper thoughts, and then eventually they become actions. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." If we want to live a lifestyle of purity, we have to eliminate the garbage that we let in our mind and reject the junk that sneaks in. Living in sexual purity to honor God is about the spiritual fruit of self-control. The verse we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4 said to avoid sexual immorality by learning to control yourself. So if you're interested, I've got a resource at the resource and information table there in the back called Biblical Building Blocks of Truth for Purity. It's all about God's Word and verses from God's Word that you can study, meditate on, and memorize to help you maintain a pure mind and a pure lifestyle. Managing your mind doesn't happen without a plan. What's your plan? You can't have uphill hopes and keep your downhill habits. You have to have a plan to manage your mind. What do I need to eliminate? What do I need to eliminate in my life so that my mind can be pure, so that I can think about good things? What do I need to replace? What do I need to get rid of? And what do I need to put in to my mind? It's a battle, and it can't be won without Jesus and a good plan. Another uphill goal is to mandate authentic community. Mandate authentic community. We talk about community here all the time. But we have grown to be accustomed in our culture today for community to mean just hanging out together. But God's Word, when it talks about community, it's talking about authentic community. Being in a place where you can share your junk. You see, our problem in the Christian community today is we kind of play like the Pharisees do. As long as everything looks good on the outside, then it must be okay on the inside. And we're afraid to share what's really going on in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives with somebody else. Because we want them to see us and think about us in good ways. We don't want them to see us as people who fail or people who struggle. Let me clue you in on something. All of us here today wrestle with some form of sexual impurity. We're all guilty. Come on, we're all sinful. We're broken. We live in a sinful, broken world. Who are we trying to fool? Who are we trying to kid? We're all in the same boat. God's Word says, hey, you know what? Get into a group and start sharing your junk. And love each other. And hold each other accountable. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Work with each other so that you can head in the right direction. I love what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22. Again, he says, run. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. How? Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Running away from lust and pursuing righteousness. We do that by hanging around with the people who are passionate about following and obeying Jesus and keeping their life pure. It's time for us to stop playing church. It's time for us to stop playing small groups. It's time for us to get down to business and be real with each other and share our struggles, especially in the area of sexual impurity. Have someone that you meet with on a regular basis that can hold you accountable. Start meeting in a group of people where you can share your struggles and ask for guidance, direction, accountability, and help. Find a place where you can be yourself and experience God's grace and still be loved, and God's truth and still be loved. Now, all of this, I know, is so easy for us to be overwhelmed because we're all guilty. At some level, we feel overwhelmed by the pressures in our culture of sexual immorality. We feel ashamed and oftentimes maybe even feel afraid. I want you to know today that those are normal feelings and that God has blessed us with those feelings for a reason. God gives us those feelings to redirect us into His loving embrace. So the last thing I want to leave with you is the most important thing that you can do for your sexual purity is apply God's grace. Apply God's grace. Listen, why would we need grace if we were perfect? We wouldn't. We all need God's grace because we're broken. We're dirty. And yet, what do we do when we fail sexually? What do we do when we blow it, when we lust, when we think about something, or when we do something stupid? The first thing we do is we run away from God because we're embarrassed and we're afraid of what God might say. We don't want to tell anybody because we're embarrassed and afraid of what they might say. Listen, God tells us today that if we come to Him faithfully and confess our sins faithfully, that He will be faithful to us to forgive us, to give us grace. Now listen, our minds, our sinful nature, we want to put a limit on God's grace. Oh, I did it again. God will never forgive me this time. He's got to be sick and tired of me coming to Him with the same thing time after time after time. Listen, there is no limit to God's grace. You see, because God is infinite. God is sovereign. He's seen your whole life. He knows everything that you've done. He knows every mistake and sin that you're going to commit. And you know what? He still loves you. He still loved you enough to go to the cross. He still loved you enough to leave heaven, a perfect place, and come to this broken, dirty, sinful world to sacrifice His life so that you could be made pure and white and righteous and holy. He loves you that much. Don't ever feel defeated by your sin. Run to God, not away from God. Because when we run to God, He gives us His love and grace. And it never fails. And it never runs out. Go to Him and apply that grace. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God calls us to live a life of sexual purity. He also gives us His Holy Spirit to empower and encourage us to stay faithful. He challenges us to live in community, to love and encourage each other so that we can be pure and pursue purity and righteousness. And He gives us grace every time we fail. Listen, if you struggle, no matter what level it is, in sexual impurity, today's a new day. Today is a new day. Today is a great day for you to start to take that next step to living a life of purity for God. Let's pray together. Lord, we fail so much. I'm reminded of Psalm 51 where David, who committed adultery, said, "Lord, have mercy on me because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of our sins. Wash us. Clean us from our guilt. Purify us from our sin. Purify us from our sins and we will be clean. Wash us and we will be whiter than snow. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen."